watched by a sulking and soaking wet troll who had given up on bridge-keeping for the day. The great hall had been thrown open. Jugglers and fire-eaters strolled among the crowd. Up in the minstrel's gallery, a small orchestra were playing the Lancre one-string fiddle and famed ram-top bagpipes, but fortunately they were more or less drowned out by the noise of the crowd. Nanny Og and Granny Weatherwax moved through said crowd. In deference to this being a festive occasion, Nanny Og had exchanged her normal black pointy hat for one of the same shape, but in red, with wax cherries on it.
"All the aught monder here," Nanny observed, taking a drink off a passing tray. "Even some wizards from Ankh-Morpork. Our Sean said, one of them said I had a fine body, he said. Been trying to remember all morning who that could have been."
"Spoilt for choice," said Granny,
but it was an automatic nastiness, with no real heart to it. It worried Nanny Og. Her friend seemed preoccupied.
"There's some gentry we don't want to see here," said Granny. "I won't be happy until all this is over."
Nanny Og craned to try and see over the head of a small emperor.
"Can't see Magrat around," she said. "There's Verence talking to some other kings, but can't see our Magrat at all. Our Sean said Millie Chillum said she was just a bag of nerves this morning."
"All these high-born folks," said Granny, looking around at the crowned heads. "I feel like a fish out of water."
"Well, the way I see it, it's up to you to make your own water," said Nanny, picking up a cold roast chicken leg from the buffet and stuffing it up her sleeve.
"Don't drink too much. We've got to keep alert, Githa. Remember what I said, don't let yourself get distracted."
"That's never the delectable Mrs. Og, is it?"
Nanny turned. There was no one behind her.
"Down here," said the voice.
She looked down into a wide grin.
"Oh, blast," she said.
"It's me, Casanunda,"
said Casanunda, who was dwarfed still further by an enormous powdered wig, but not huge by wig standards. There have, in the course of decadent history, been many large wigs, often with built-in gewgaws to stop people having to look at boring hair all the time. There had been ones big enough to contain pet mice or clockwork ornaments. Mademoiselle Coupidor, mistress of Mad King Soup II, had one with a birdcage in it, but on special state occasions wore one containing a perpetual calendar, a floral clock, and a takeaway linguine shop.
"You remember? We danced the night away in Genua?"
"No, we didn't."
"Well, we could have done."
"Fancy you turning up here," said Nanny, weakly.
The thing about Casanunda, she recalled, was that the harder you slapped him down, the faster he bounced back, often in an unexpected direction.
"Our stars are entwined," said Casanunda. "We're fated for one another. I want your body, Mrs. Og."
"I'm still using it."
And while she suspected quite accurately that this was an approach the world's second greatest lover used on anything that appeared to be even vaguely female, Nanny Og had to admit that she was flattered. She'd had many admirers in her younger days, but time had left her with a body that could only be called comfortable and a face like Mr. Grape the Happy Raisin. Long-banked fires gave off a little smoke. Besides, she'd rather liked Casanunda. Most men were oblique in their approach, whereas his direct attack was refreshing.
"It'd never work," she said. "We're basically incompatible. When I'm 5'4", you'll still only be 3'9". Anyway, I'm old enough to be your mother."
"You can't be. My mother's nearly 300, and she's got a better beard than you."
And, of course, that was another point. By dwarf standards, Nanny Og was hardly more than a teenager.
"La, sir," she said, giving him a playful tap that made his ears ring. "You do know how to turn a simple country girl's head, and no mistake."
Casanunda picked himself up and adjusted his wig happily.
"I like a girl with spirit," he said. "How about you and me having a little tête-à-tête when this is over?"
Nanny Og's face went blank. Her cosmopolitan grip of language had momentarily let her down.
Excuse me a minute," she said.
She put her drink down on his head and pushed through the crowd until she found a likely-looking duchess and prodded her in the bustle regions.
"Hey, Your Grace, what's a tête-à-tête?"
"I beg your pardon?"
"A tête-à-tête. Do you do it with your clothes on, or what?"
"It means an intimate meeting, my good woman."
"Oh, is that all? Oh, ta."
Nanny Og elbowed her way back to the vibrating